Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Dalad, Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. Bein Achaptiros Mizeridom. So we're speaking about the benefits a person gets in terms of when he's occupied in learning Torah, when he's toiling in learning Torah, that he's protected in this world, and his panos is guaranteed in this world, and he's safe from all sorts of Torahs, all sorts of trouble. And going along the same line, he's telling us as well, and in addition to all this, that after a person passes away, when a person leaves this world, our sages say, Amru Chazal, Talmidei Chachamim ein ul shel Gehenem shelet behem. The Torah scholars, the fires of Gehenem don't have any connection with them. In other words, they're not affected by the fires of Gehenem. It's like the fires of Gehenem just sort of jump around, but it doesn't affect them. They don't feel it. It can't burn them at all. There's something that they can't be burnt at all. They can't be affected at all by those fires, because those fires are for those who have sinned, and they're totally impervious. It's a different realm. There's no connection. And also teaches there, Talmud Chacham went off the path. If you've got a Torah scholar, even though he went off the path, but it says here, in Torosanim Esses, his Torah itself doesn't go off, doesn't go bad. Now, if you, let's say you have food and the fridge breaks down, all the food in the fridge goes sour and goes bad. Torah cannot go bad. Torah cannot sour. Torah is an intangible value, and it never dies. It can never rot. It can never go bad. It's like anything that's non-tangible can't rot. And if you've got fish can go bad. Meat can go sour. Salad can go off. But Torah can never go off. It's spiritual. It's totally spiritual, so therefore it can't go off. But we learn here that Talmud Chacham, even though he himself has soured, but the hours and hours that he's invested in Torah, all that is for eternity. That lasts. That time that he's invested, that part of his self, which has been engaging in Torah, that's forever. So it could be, at the borders he's doing some things that need to be trimmed away. So to speak, in the world to come, they'll have to trim away some of the borders which have gone a little bit off. But the Torah itself can't go off. All of that investment, all the Torah that he's labored in, that's eternal. It's eternal. He's got that forever. The Midrash Mishle also says on the Pasuk, Havin Moshel Umelitza. It speaks about the Torah as a Moshel, as an analogy. And it speaks about the interpretation of the Torah as Melitza. The word Melitza means to interpret. Or to advocate. We speak of a melitz yosha, someone who comes to advocate on your behalf, someone who can speak out on your behalf. You know, it's an interpretation, it's a way of understanding. It's called a melitza. So that's the function of an advocate. He's someone who will interpret your actions before the court. That's a melitz. So the Torah itself is called a melitz. So says the Midrash, Zura Torah Atzmo. So the term Melitz refers to the Torah itself, the interpretation of Torah. Why is it called Melitza, the interpretation? Because it saves those who occupy it from the punishments of Gehenim. Now the word Melitza is the same as the word Matzila. If you just change the letters around, so you've got the same word Matzil, it saves them. Melitz is to advocate on behalf, but you change the letters around, it means Matzil. So the Torah itself, the Torah that a person has been engaged in, that saves him from the punishment of Gehenim. V'sham v'reish parsha b'ni imtikach amarai. Also there in the Midrash, it speaks there that the Pasuk says, my son, if you will take my teachings. So it's the Torah speaking to us. Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Israel, Al ha'asina, im zechisem nahatzbin, ul'kabel tirosi la'soiso. If you will merit to hide yourself away and to receive my Torah and to do it. If you'll hide yourself away,
what does he mean?
So hide yourself away means that you're able to seclude yourself from the physical world, from all the noise of this world, all the doings of this world. People are running around, they're doing this, they're doing that. So if you're able to hide yourself, so imagine if you're on a battlefield, and they're dropping bombs on the battlefield, but you find yourself a hiding place. So you're going to your hiding place, and then whatever happens outside, you're in the secure place. And even though the bombs are falling and there's all sorts of war going on, but you're in a hidden place, nothing happens to you. So once the battle is over, you come out of your hiding place and everything's fine. You survived. So in the same way, we've got to find a hiding place from this world. We've got to hide away from this world, from all of the distractions of this world and all the temptations of this world. We have to have like a hiding place where we can seclude ourselves and connect with Torah. That way we can ensure our connection. So that's the language of Latzbin. I was thinking that that could be the pshat we say in the bracha, in the bracha of Ala Tzadikim Ala Hasidim, the bracha in Shmon Esrei. So we ask that Hashem should send blessing to the righteous, to the pious, the Zikne Amcha B'Israel, to the elders of the Jewish people, Al Pleita Sefrahim, and the remnants of the scholars. So the question, what does it mean, Al Pleita Sefrahim, and the remnants of the scholars? What do you mean the remaining scholars? What's the remaining scholars? It doesn't sound like a very complimentary term, the scholars who remain, right? What does it mean, the remaining scholars? But the word in Hebrew means, Pleita means actually to escape. The scholars who escaped, what's Pshat they escaped? They escaped the temptations of this world. They escaped, all their friends went out into the working world, and they're all working, 12-hour days. But these guys escaped it. They managed to run away from it. They managed to escape to the base of Midrash, and they're secluded. They're survivors, right? They're survivors from... They're the survivors who managed to hang on to the Torah. And that's a similar expression in Lahatspin, that they hide themselves to occupy themselves in Torah. They hide from the temptations of this world. So that's the Midrash. Im zachisim lahatspin lekabel tirosi, if you merit to hide yourself and to receive my Torah, lasis, and to do it, ani matzil eschem misholish puranius, I will save you from three types of punishments. Yimelchem es Gog and Magog, the war of Gog and Magog, which is at the end of the days. From the birth pangs of the coming of Mashiach, umidina shel Gehenim, and the punishments of Gehenim. Umitzvoisa titzvoin ito, hide my mitzvahs with you. A person's got something very precious, he hides it away from you. Like for instance, if you have some storekeeper, and he gets some very, very special merchandise. He says, no, this merchandise he's not putting on the shelf, he's putting it back in his storeroom for his special customers. And he's got special customers that he has to treat them well, he treasures them. So he doesn't leave his merchandise on the store, on the storefront, and on the shelves. He hides it in the back room. So the same thing, we have to hide away our mitzvahs. We have to hide away our mitzvahs, that they shouldn't be spoiled. They shouldn't be, such. No one should take them away from us. So just like that merchant who will hide away the special merchandise for his special customers, we have to hide away our mitzvahs. We have to protect our mitzvahs. We have to guard our mitzvahs. If you will merit to hide away my Torah, like a squirrel squirrels away acorns for his food for the winter. So you have to squirrel away Torah, the ability to learn Torah. If you can hop around, you get a moment just to steal a few minutes, for 5 minutes of Torah, 10 minutes of Torah. You've got a few moments in the day, and you sort of steal away. You steal that time for a little bit of learning Torah. So that's merit. That's a merit. You got that for yourself. You merited for yourself. That's for you. In Zachis, that's been Torah. If you merit to hide away my Torah, ani masbia eschem mituv hatzofen loosid lovoi. So I will satisfy you from the goodness that's hidden away for the future, for the world to come. You know, Hashem also has got stuff he hid away. So just like we're hiding away Torah and mitzvahs, Hashem, so to speak, has got special reward. There's the reward of the world to come. The world to come is paradise, it's unbelievable, it's incredible. But there's special rewards of the world to come, which Hashem himself has hidden away. Who's he hidden it for? He's hidden for those who hide away Torah for him. You know, those, you know, meter connected meter, measure for measure. So we hide away our Torah mitzvahs for Hashem. He hides away special rewards for us. As it says, it's a possible tell him, it says, how great is the goodness that you've hidden away, Hashem, to those who fear you. Hashem, so to speak, has put away special rewards for the tzaddikim. Risham b'parsha Yud, in the chatzdoka shebatzelus et adam midina shel gehenem ela Torah bilvad. So they bring one of the teachings that there's no tzdoka that saves from a person from gehenem. Now we know that one of the things that saves a person from gehenem, from punishment, is tzdoka. But here in this teaching we've got here also from the Midrash, that there is no tzedaka that saves a person to the extent that Torah does. Torah is also called tzedaka. Torah is also called tzedaka. Why would Torah be called tzedaka? Charity. Why is learning Torah called charity? Because in a sense, Hashem is like a pauper. People neglect him. Hashem has given the world to us, and he's asked us to use the world that he's given us also for him. Right. So therefore, but we're so busy with ourselves, we're so busy feeding ourselves in this world, so Hashem, so to speak, becomes a charity case. Right? There's the story of the father retired, and he was living with his children. Right? He spent a few months at this child's house and this child's house. He was living by himself. He was already a widower. He was living by himself. So his children said to him, "Dad, come and live with us." So he spent a few months at this child and a few months at that child. Right? So he thought, If his children are supporting him and he's living with his children, he might as well give them all his money. But there was a terrible mistake. Once he gave them all his money, then they weren't that nice to him anymore. Then they had no more expectations because their father already signed over the bank accounts. So then all of a sudden, he found himself like a pauper. They were treating him a little bit in a bit of a nasty way because they didn't need him anymore. And he felt like a beggar in his own children's house, right? You know, even though they took all his money, they used his money, but he feels like a beggar. So in the same sense, Hashem has given us his world, and he's given us free choice, so we can spend our time learning Torah. We spend our time doing 101 things. So therefore, no one who's got time for Torah. I'm too busy, you know, I've got things to do. I've got my things to acquire and good times to have. So Hashem, in a sense, becomes like a beggar in this world. That he's begging us, you know, to just, you know, spend some of my time on my Torah. That's really what you're in this world for. Just keep that in mind. That's why I brought you here. But we forget about it. So Hashem, in a sense, becomes a beggar. And therefore, we have to do tzedakah for Hashem by learning his Torah. In a sense, it's like tzedakah. And there is no tzedakah that will save us from the punishment of Gehenna as well as Torah will. Afilu sheyesh bo, right? It's called, Torah is called tzedakah sheyesh bakoyach latzil oiso miyoyim hadin. Because it says that Torah can save you from the day of judgment. We know that tzedakah, there's a few, the Gemara's that speak about how tzedakah can save a person from death. Giving charity can save a person from death. So all the more so if you do the charity to Hashem by learning his Torah, so that certainly will save us from death, and that's death even in the next world, which means the punishments of Gehenna. Even a person became liable if he was sentenced because of doing a certain sin. It can still save him from the day of punishment. And so from here we learn that a Talmud Chochem, a Torah scholar, even though he's done a terrible sin, his Torah will preserve him. Because Torah, so to speak, Torah is above everything. Think of Torah as a life belt. So a person's drowning in the ocean, but he's got this life belt, and the Torah can't sink. The life belt can't sink, so the ocean pushes him this way and this way. That's the sins he's done. But he's got the Torah. The Torah itself upholds him. It holds him beyond all the lowliness of sin. He's upheld by his Torah. It's like a life belt that upholds him in the highest spheres and saves him. In Midrash Tehillim, it says there in Midrash Tehillim as follows. The possibility is Kufosui. It speaks about the sun that's going to come at the end of days, which is going to punish. It's going to be a burning sun. It's going to punish the sinners. And it goes on a cycle. The sun has a cycle. It's kufosui, and it burns with its heat. The ein nista mechamosui. No one hides from its heat. No one can hide from its heat. And people want to hide themselves from their punishment.
Like global warming or something.
Yeah, it's talking about heat in the world to come. It's not literally. It's not a literal. It's not a physical sun of this world. We're not talking about the sun of this world. We're talking about a punishment in the world to come at the end of days. So it says that there will be a burning that no one will escape. And on that, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Omri Taveh, they both said, Ein Gehenem l'osid lavoi. And that's what they explained. There is no Gehenem in the world to come, meaning at the end of days. Ela shashemesh hazu, hi melahetes es hashem. This sun will come out and it will burn the Rishoyim. There's a possibility that speaks about a sun that's going to come up and heal the tzaddikim. It's a healing sun. But the same sun that's going to heal the tzaddikim is going to burn the Rishoyim. It's going to burn out the sinners. Look, a day is going to come burning like an oven. You call Zedim and all those who willfully sinned against Hashem, right? They'll all be burnt by the sun and they'll be burnt out. They will be turned into ashes. But when that sun will come out, who will be protected from that heat, from the heat of that sun? Mishu Isik Batira. Someone who's been occupied with Torah. Now, even someone who should be burnt by that sun, because he's a sinner also. He's also been sinning. He's been indulging in his lowest types of desires. He should also be burnt. But because he's an Isik Batira, because he also engaged in learning Torah, so the Torah is going to protect him, even though he needs to, he really deserves to be punished with everyone else. Maksiv acharav, and where do we get that? Because the pasuk then goes on to say, after speaks about this burning of the sun that's going to come out, it says in the next verse, it says, Torah Hashem Tmima. However, the Torah of Hashem is whole. The sun can't damage the Torah of Hashem. Even if you've got this burning sun, you've got this acid bath of sun, and the Torah is totally untouched by it. It doesn't affect it at all, because the Torah of Hashem is whole. It's perfect. It's a perfect item that can't be spoilt in any way. Chenu oimer. And similarly, there's a verse in Iyov that says, "In choshech ve'in tzal, mavis li sose sham poile oven." There's no darkness and there's no shadow of death for the sinners to hide themselves. But it sounds like there are those who can hide. There's no darkness for the sinners to hide themselves. But who can hide himself? Umi nista, but who can hide himself from punishments? Mishu oisik b'ter, someone who's engaged with ter, that is a protection from Gehenna. V'kal v'chomim elisha acher, and we learn it as a kalvachoma, all the more so from Elisha Acher. Elisha is Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya was a great genius. He was the Rebbe of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir himself was a great genius. But Elisha ben Avuya went totally off the path. He wasn't keeping Torah, he wasn't keeping mitzvahs, he wasn't keeping kosher, he wasn't keeping Shabbos, he wasn't keeping anything. He was a great genius in Torah, but he just abandoned everything. Walked away out of Yiddishkeit. Right, so it says there that, however, he says he was saved from Gehenna because of his Torah. She'amru le meidan nidanya mishin digimi oraisa. So the Gemara says that he will not be punished because he learned Torah, even though he was a terrible sinner, that he was not punished because he learned Torah. There's even a description in the Gemara how Rabbi Meir went to look for his grave, and they showed him Acha's grave, and they saw smoke coming out of the grave. And Rabbi Meir davened for him, and he said, Rabbi Meir davened to Hashem, he said, this is the man who taught me Torah. And the smoke stopped. He was able to save him. The salvation of Elisha ben Avuya was through the merit of his Torah. Zoi Yisro, also we have the Zoi Pashas Yisro. Amari Amai Isyoi Varaisa Be'esha V'chashrecha. Right, it asks there in the Zoi, why was the fire? Let's go back. V'chein Amar B'Yerushalmi Sham. It also says in Yerushalmi over there, and Koheles Rabban, Midrashim Koheles, the post of Tev Achis Tova. Right, better is the end of a matter. It says on that verse, better is the end of the matter. Loi Kein Tanin and Matzidan Tikha Seifa Ima Seifa. So the Gemara comments there, do we not save the cover of the Seifa together with the Seifa? If you've got a Seifa Torah, the Seifa Torah has this velvet cloth cover. Right, the Sfarim actually have a metal cover. They have like a whole box that they put the Sefer to. So when the house is on fire, you can't save anything. It's on Shabbos. You can't save anything on Shabbos. But you can save Kisvei HaKodesh. You can save a Sefer Torah. So when you're running to save a Sefer Torah, so the cover of the Sefer Torah, which is the jacket of the Sefer Torah, gets saved together with the Sefer Torah. You're taking out a Sefer Torah. You're not going to take off the jacket. You're going to take out the Sefer Torah with its jacket. That's what Moses says, do you not take out the jacket together with the Torah? So the same thing, will you not take out together the sinner together with his Torah? This sinner is full of Torah because he learned lots of Torah. He's a sinner, he's a terrible sinner. But he's full of Torah, he's got lots of Torah. So will you not save the jacket together with the sinner? That's the same idea, that the sinners are saved in the merit of their Torah learning. And that's what the Gemara says, Matzilin le'Elisha b'schus Torah. We save Elisha in the merit of his Torah. And Zoe Yisro, it says, Amar Isyoi v'raisa b'esha. Why was Torah given to us with fire and with darkness? Because anyone who engages in Torah, since the Torah itself is a fire, so therefore Torah was given with a fire because Torah itself is a fire. So one of the energies of Torah is it's an energy of fire. Because anyone who engages in Torah nitzol me'esh acher shel gehenim, he is saved from another fire. If he's engaged in this fire, that saves him from another fire. What's the other fire? The fire of Gehenna. And the darkness, in which all the other nations will be plunged into this darkness. There'll be a power failure for all the Rishoyim. They'll all be plunged into darkness. And Israel will have light. So the Torah is a source of light, and it's a source of heat and fire. And that fire will free us of other fires, the fires of Gehenna. Another Zohar, Abraham Reim Hemnev Truma, Pashas Truma, it brings there. Mitzvah Lilmoy Torah B'chol Yoim. It's a mitzvah to learn Torah every day. Shehu Soid Haimuna Elyoina. This is the secret of upper faith. Upper faith is knowing Hashem. Upper faith is knowing Hashem Himself. That's called upper faith. Leidah Drochav Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, to know the ways of Hashem. Shekol Mi She'osek B'Torah Zeicha Bo'ilam Hazeh V'Zeicha Bo'ilam Havoh. Anyone engages himself in Torah merits in this world, any merits in the world to come, and he's safe from all types of terrible accusations. Because the Torah itself is the secret of our faith. If it goes way, way up, it goes beyond any type of punishment. It's the secret of faith. It's the source of faith, which is Hashem Himself. And someone engages in Torah is engaging in the upper faith, the upper belief. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashe Shekhinoso B'Sechel, Hashem fills him with the divine presence. Hashem, so to speak, rests his divine presence into the person. But the Torah itself is the divine presence of Hashem, in a sense. And he becomes filled with the divine presence. And that divine presence just elevates him from any type of trouble, any type of trouble, any type of punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashe Shekhinoso B'Sechel, Shelei Sosu Mimena, that he should not be removed from the Torah. The Torah itself is this protection. Okumayim Chazal, also like our sages teach in the Gemara Shabbos, it says Al Aposuk Oyich Yomim Yomina. It says about the Torah that there's length of days on its right side. Right, this is the pasuk we say when we take out the Torah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we speak about that there's length of days on its right side and Oishav Akovid and wealth and honor on its left side. And there are a number of explanations. The question of what does it mean on the right side and on the left side? So the two explanations that Gemara brings, it says, on the right side means those who do it with all their strength, and on the left means those who do it with their left side. Now, they learn Torah, but they learn it in a slack way. So the real, the true reward, the full reward of Torah comes for those who learn Torah with all their strength, whereas there's a lesser reward with those who learn with their left side. And that's one interpretation. And the other interpretation is to learn with your right side is to learn with the right motivations. That's the right side of the right motivations, with true motivations for the sake of giving honor to Hashem. So those are the people who get the full reward of Torah learning, whereas those who learn Torah with the wrong motivation, they learn it just for self, for their self glory and their self prosperity, because there's a bracha that comes from Torah that a person can prosper, he gets wealth and he gets honor from learning Torah, but that's the wrong motivation. So they get honor and wealth, but they don't get the full reward of eternity. So we bring this Gemara here. Those are the two explanations of the Gemara. So the Gemara here, we're quoting the Gemara here, it says as follows. Oich yamim yamina, there's length of days on its right side. Lemaminim bo, those who do it with their right, i.e. they do it with their full strength or they do it with the right intentions. So those who do it with the right, oich yamim, they merit eternity. They become part of the eternity of the Torah. The Torah is eternal and they have the part of the eternity of the Torah. The Kol Shekein Oishav Akovet. And since they're getting eternity, which is the bigger reward, so that includes the smaller reward. Right? Just like you say, if someone asks you, can you lend me 100 rand? So you say, well, I've only got a 200 rand note. So that's also good. That's also good because 200 includes 100. So the greater reward includes the lesser reward. So when it says that the reward for Torah is length of days, so that for sure that would include wealth and honor in this world. So therefore, that's the Gemara says, that those who learn Torah with their right side, with the right motivations, with all their strength, they receive length of days, eternity, and all the more so they receive wealth and honor. We take wealth and honor as being literal. There's a nice story about the stipler. The stipler is a custom that it says that a person who is a sandek at a bris, so it's considered that that service of being a sandek in the bris is considered the equivalent of bringing incense to the Beis HaMikdash. And it says about bringing incense to the Beis HaMikdash that it's a skula for wealth. One who brings incense to the Beis HaMikdash, it's a charm for becoming very wealthy. So once someone asked the stipler, well, the stipler was, when he was, especially when he was an older man, everyone was inviting him to be sandek because it was one of the things that he never refused. He never refused to become sandek. So, you know, every person would invite the stipler to be a sandek. He would go from place to place being sandek at one bris and the next bris and the next bris. That's everyone wanted him. So someone asked the stipler, doesn't it say that to be a sandek is you granted wealth? He says, and where's your wealth? Huh? The stipler lived in a small 2-bedroom apartment. He says, where's your wealth? So the stipler says, where's my wealth? And he pointed to a set of books that he had authored, the Kilas Yaakov, which is on every single Masechet of Shas. He had his commentaries and all the different works that he'd written, and very popular set of Talmudic commentaries. He says, you don't call that wealth? Look at my wealth. That's my wealth. That's eternal wealth. So wealth is a relative term. It could be wealth is not necessarily driving around in Rolls Royce. Wealth is having whatever you want.
Or a person's got important things or whatever.
A person's got everything that he wants. Whatever he wants, he has. So that's called wealth. He's not lacking anything. So it could be that's how we have to understand wealth. Not maybe in dollars and cents, but in true wealth. It says in Pekavas, Ezu Oshir, who's a wealthy person, who's happy with what he's got. He's got everything he wants. Whatever he wants, he's got. He's not lacking anything. There's nothing that he lacks. The person buys a house with 15 bedrooms. And each bedroom, he's got a beautiful bedroom suite. Yeah, but how many beds can you sleep in? So what, every night you're going to sleep in another bed? What's that giving you? If you've got a good bed, what do you need to sleep in another bed for? What are you going to do with 15 bedroom suites? What benefit does that give you? You don't need one bed. You only take up a few centimeters in the bed. Say you have a king size bed. You know, you can only sleep in one corner of the bed. You know, so what's the benefit of having such a giant bed? I've got a giant bed. It's 500 feet long. But you only take one corner. It's like a person, I'm so wealthy, I can buy all the food in the world. But you can't eat so much food. You can only, how much can you eat? You eat one steak, have one glass of wine, you have one plate of ice cream, and you're full. And that's it. So how much can you eat? You know, how much can you consume? So it could be, that's, wealth is having whatever you want. That's the true blessing of wealth. But that is the blessing. There is a blessing of wealth on the Torah scholars, that they lack nothing. And this wealth is a wealth that's in both worlds. Wealth and honor in this world. And eternity. Because the main eternity, the main intention when it says length of days, means length of days. It means in the day, that's, it doesn't mean this world. Length of days in this world is nothing. 80, 90 years is just like a sneeze in terms of eternity. It's nothing. An extra 10 years, another 5 years. What's the big deal? Right? We're talking about eternity. We're talking about endless years. So the endless promise of eternity is in the world that's fully long. It's the really long world. As the sages teach in a number of places, of the Zohar and the Zohar Parshas V'yeshev, etc. V'sham Parshas Chai Sora, Rebbe's Posoch, Galei Naiva Bita Nifluis Misu Yisecho. There's a verse that says, open my eyes and let me see the wonders of your Torah. Right? Kamahem Shoitim Bnei Adam. Look how foolish people are. Look how foolish people are, that they don't know and they don't see that they should be engaging in learning Torah. Torah is the entire life. It's all of life. All of life is included in the Torah. All types of freedom. And all types of goodness. All types of richness and goodness. In this world and the next world. It's a freedom in this world. You're freed from all types of bondage, all types of slavery, to all sorts of desires, all sorts of different forces and influences. Right? It's a freedom. A person becomes free from all sorts of different constrictions and limitations. It's a freedom in this world and in the next world. It's life in this world that a person will merit full, whole days, perfect days, and eternal days in the world to come. Because the life of Torah is a life of perfection. Chaim Shulcheir is a life of freedom. Without any sadness. Chaim, Shem Chaim, life that's life. Life that's really life. Cheris b'ilam azeh, freedom in this world. Cheris mikol, freedom from any type of bondage. Kikol misho isa gotir lo yuchlu lishloit alav kol amei ilam. Because anyone who's engaged in Torah, none of the people of the world can control him or rule over him in any way at all. Valkem kol misho isa gotir yesh lo cheris mikol, he is freed of everything. B'ilam azeh mishibud umas ilam, in this world from being a slave to the nations of the world. And he's free in the world to come, because he won't be demanded that he's got to pay punishment. There won't be any claim, you know, you owe punishment, you owe so many years of sin, so many years of hard labor, or so many years of being convicted in a prison. Nothing will be demanding. He'll be totally free. He'll be able to go freely into the next world, and he'll have a pass, like the guy, you know, who comes through in the airport. So there's the, you know, there's two lanes as you come out of the airport. There's nothing to declare. That's the green line. The green line, you just go straight to the doors. Then there's the red line that says, you know, you've got customs. You have to declare what you've got. So a person who's free when it comes to the world to come, he just goes through the green lane. He just goes through. He goes right past Gehenna. Goes right past Gehenna. Others are held up. They have to go into Gehenna. They have to be suffered. They have this punishment. There's different penalties they have to pay. But he's totally free. And that's because he was engaged in Torah. So Torah is the green card. It's the pass card. There will be no punishments to be exacted from him in the world to come. When the Tanna of Eliyahu, it says in the Tanna of Eliyahu, on the pasuk al hanachal yale al hanachal yale al sos. It speaks about the river. The river is a hint to the Torah. It's called the river, and the river that overflows its banks. Mizeh mizeh ko ayit machal. The trees are on the banks of the river, and they sit nicely, firmly on the banks of the river, and the river overflows its waters onto the banks, and the trees get the benefit of all the waters of the river. So it says about those rivers, lo yeh ki yovei choim. These trees are protected when there's a drought. Now when there's a very harsh summer, very dry summer, and there's a hard sun, very, very hot weather. So these trees that grow by the riverbanks, they're protected, they're nice and moist. They've got some moisture, they're fresh, they're evergreen trees, and therefore they're protected from the sun. The sun doesn't bother them. So that's to teach those who plant themselves by the rivers is a reference to people who plant themselves by the Torah, because the Torah is the river. The person who plants himself in Torah and he engages in Torah, so therefore he doesn't have to suffer the punishment of the harsh sun that burns those who are sinners. Anyone engages in Torah, one who engages in Torah does not see a measure of punishment, whether in this world, whether in the days of Mashiach, and whether in eternity. Moshe Peshu Chazal, as our sages explained, it says about the Torah, in your walking, it will accompany you. Your walking means in this world. As you walk through this world, so the Torah accompanies you. You have someone to walk with you. You have a guide to walk with you. You've got an assistant who's walking at your side. But that's talking about in this world. The Torah accompanies you in this world. And when you lie down, it also guards you. That's talking. Be careful in the grave when a person passes away. So then he's put into a grave. He lies in a grave. So the Torah hovers over him and protects him. And when he awakens from the grave for the resurrection of the dead, it will advocate on his behalf. It will speak out on his behalf. It will be your conversation. It will speak out. The Torah that he learned will be his advocate, will be his will say out his merits in the world to come. It says on the Pasuk in Tehillim, the Torah of Hashem is perfect. Look how important it is for people to engage themselves in Torah. The call, ki kol mishum istadl b'Torah. Anyone who engages in Torah, yelo ichaim ba'ulam hazeh uba'ulam habo. He will have life in this world and the next world. Vuzeicha b'shnei ulomis, and he merits both worlds. Afilu mishum istadl b'Torah, ve'enu istadl bo lishmo, and even someone engages in Torah and without the right motivation, he learns Torah, and even though he learns it without the right motivation, like it is fitting, still he will merit a good reward in this world, and he will not be punished in the world of truth. Look at the verse. The verse says, length of days on its right side. His length of days is eternity for someone who toils in Torah for the right motivation. That he gets length of days, he gets eternity in the world of eternity. And on his left side, he gets wealth and honor. He has a good reward and contentment, serenity. He has serenity and contented lifestyle in this world. Anyone engages in Torah with the right motivation, when he needs to leave this world, right at the end of 120, when a person has to leave this world, the Torah goes before him, and it announces him in the world to come, and it goes before him and announces him, and it protects him, so that no claimants should come with all sorts of claims against him, and also when the body is lying in its grave, he mishamato, it guards him, the Torah, his Torah guards him. When the neshama removes itself, when the neshama goes up to the heavens, right? The neshama leaves the body, a person dies, so the soul leaves the body, the body is left alone all of a sudden. Up to now, the soul is, that's the life force of the body. When you've got a soul, that's the life force of the body, the body's alive. Now the person has died, so the soul leaves the body, and it goes back to the heavens. Right, So the Torah, firstly, the Torah accompanies the Neshama into the world to come and opens up all sorts of gates. It breaks through the gates. The Torah that he's learned breaks through the gates of the upper world. There are different great gates, there are different realms, different mechitzas, different halls, higher and higher halls, higher worlds in the world to come. So the Torah goes before him, breaks through the gates, until it brings the Neshama to its true place. And also at the same time, the Torah learned hovers over the body and protects their body until he needs to rise together with the when all the dead will rise from the grave. It'll advocate on his behalf, it'll protect, it'll argue for him on his behalf. And that's what the verse says, and that's what the verse we brought before, that in your walking it'll accompany you, as we said, it'll accompany you in this world, it'll protect you in this world, protect you all sorts of troubles, all sorts of sorrows, and give you prosperity and affluence and happiness. And when you will lie down in the grave, when the body is lying in the grave, we know the stories of tzaddikim where their bodies didn't rot, they were mamish, they were preserved, their bodies were whole. So when the body is lying in the grave, when the body has been punished with a grave, again as a love, his Torah will protect him. When you awaken from the time of the resurrection of the dead, it'll advocate on your behalf, as we said before, which is the time when all the dead will be aroused. They'll be aroused from the dust. It'll speak on his behalf to say his merits and to give him merit in the world to come.